Well, it was Friday morning, January 12th. It was in the middle of the morning rush, the Washington, D.C. Metro. And as over 1,000 people passed by, there was a young man in jeans and a baseball cap with a violin case. He opened up his case, he pulled out his violin, he threw a few dollars into the case as seed money, and then he began to play. He played for 43 minutes. He played six classical pieces. Beautiful, pure sound filled the Metro Plaza. An occasional passerby would drop a few coins into his violin case, but for the most part, the musician was ignored. In total, 1,097 people passed by that morning. Yet it was 6 minutes before the first person ever stopped to listen to the music. In total, only 7 people stopped at all. Most people didn't stop, rarely even turned a head to look. The violin case managed to conjure up a mere $38 in donations. And so who was this unrecognized musician? No one knew it, but he was one of the finest classical musicians in the world, playing some of the most elegant music ever written on one of the most valuable violins ever made. This unusual experiment was arranged by the Washington Post, and the musician's name was Josh Bell. Just 3 days before, he had filled Boston's Symphony Hall, where the average seat went for $100 each. Yet, at the Washington, D.C. Metro, in the middle of the hustle and bustle, this master musician had gone unrecognized and overwhelmingly ignored. You can read about this in the April 2007 issue of the Washington Post. You can Google it. You can even watch a YouTube video of the occurrence. Or our text tonight tells a similar story. It tells us that 2,000 years ago, the very creator of our universe took on flesh and bones, and he came down into this world. Yet he too was unrecognized and overwhelmingly ignored. I'll be reading briefly and sharing from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 10 to 13. So if you have a Bible, you can turn there. And in John chapter 1, speaking of Jesus, who is the Word of God made flesh, it states, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God." This is God's word. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this wonderful night that we can remember the birth of our Savior Jesus. We thank you that we can gather here together as a body of believers, that we can worship you. And so we pray that you would send forth your Spirit with your word, that you would accomplish your purpose here tonight, that you would draw our hearts to yourself, that you would bring us to repentance, and that you would bring us to faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, tonight, through scripture and song, we've been on a journey. We've heard and we've sung how Jesus has come in a most unusual way. The King of our universe did not come down to a prominent, a wealthy, or a powerful family, nor did he come down to a key, influential city with worldly pomp and circumstance. Instead, his arrival was humble and it was simple. He came to an ordinary teenage girl who was betrothed to a decent and honorable man named Joseph. He came down to a small, nearly no-name city, dwarfed by nearby Jerusalem. But most surprising and unexpected, he came as a baby, born in a dirty stable because there was no room for him in the inn. Aside from farm animals, the only other witnesses of this magnificent supernatural event are a few outcast shepherds who are out in the fields watching over their flocks. According to the Old Testament, the coming of the Messiah was expected. It was anticipated. It should not have been missed. Passages in Isaiah and the prophet Micah pointed ahead to the coming of a baby born in Bethlehem who would bring comfort to his people by doing that which his name literally means, by saving his people from their sins. Yet, that lonely, quiet night, he was largely missed. Many did not recognize nor receive Jesus. Both scripture and history show this to be true. And in the same way as the sophisticated and savvy businessmen and women on that day at the DC Metro didn't recognize the master musician who was playing some of the most beautiful music, the world whom God created did not recognize Jesus when he came either. And in fact, many who interacted with Jesus rejected him. But one thing our passage makes clear tonight, but not all. Not all rejected Jesus. And in the Washington Post story, there was a woman who recognized Josh Bell. Surprised to see him in such an unexpected and odd place, she stood there and she listened eagerly, joyfully, to all the music that he played until he finally finished. Well, in verse 12 of John chapter 1, it tells us that there is great joy. There's great comfort. There is great hope to those who do not miss Jesus. It says, in sharp contrast to verses 10 and 11, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Scripture tells us that God created us to be in relationship with him, perfect relationship with him, and also in perfect relationship with one another. But the problem is that sin has come into the world. Sin has separated us from God. It has alienated us from one another. We lack the comfort that we were created to have. We suffer. We struggle with heartache and pain because sin is in the world and because we too are sinners. Scripture tells us that every single one of us falls short of the perfection that God requires of us. But Scripture also tells us that God will bring a Savior to his people. God himself will send a deliverer who will come down into this world and pay for our sins. And in fact, the entire Old Testament points forward to the coming of the Savior. And the entire New Testament tells of this Savior that has already come. The message of Christmas is that this deliverer, this Savior, this Redeemer has come in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is Emmanuel, which is God with us. Jesus is the true King. He is the Christ, which literally means the anointed one. Therefore, Jesus is the one whom God authorized and empowered to carry out the work of accomplishing our salvation. In him and nowhere else is salvation found. And John's gospel tells us that those who receive Jesus, that those who believe he is the Christ who saves us from our sins, to these he gives the right to become children of God. And this statement, which is so easy to quickly read past and miss the implication that is there, this statement assumes that we are not the children, the spiritual children of God, by natural birth. It is only in Jesus that we receive a change in nature. It is only in him that we are forgiven of our sins, that we are treated not as children of wrath, but as sons and as daughters of God. And so, the tough question for all of us tonight is, which group are you in? And culturally, we celebrate Christmas. But among the festivities, the traditions, the presents, are you distracted? Are you missing Jesus? Are you among those who don't see him? Or are you among those who have embraced him as your Savior? Are you among those that have received him and have thus become a son and daughter of God? And to those who have not yet received Jesus, tonight could be the moment of your salvation. How appropriate on Christmas Eve that you simply acknowledge your need for a Savior. And like the three kings we read about, come and worship at the feet of Jesus. And if you already are one who has received Jesus, take time to stop and listen to the beautiful song of our Savior. Worship intently, joyfully, eagerly, soaking up the comfort, the joy, and the hope that only Jesus can give. And for all of us, in the midst of the hustle and the bustle of the holiday season, don't miss Christmas. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you that you have made yourself known to us. You are the one who took the initiative to come down here and to make a way of salvation. You were not obligated to do this. We didn't deserve it. Yet because of your love, that's what you did. You wanted to save us from our sin. So we thank you for our Savior, Jesus. I pray that you would call our hearts to yourself, that we would worship you, and that we would come to you through the only means of salvation, which is our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.